Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our first reading in Acts chapter 16. This past Wednesday, I made my way up to Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, for a best practices conference. So it's a conference where I talk about some of the things and ministries that various different congregations are doing. So various pastors came and they would present a little workshop about some of the things that the ministries that they were doing. And there were a good number of them, I think 15 to 20 of these different workshops, and such things as, you know, how to run a creative and vibrant VBS, how to reach out to your community, how to have better relationships with your community, and understanding people who live on the border of poverty and gentrification. Some very good things that were happening there. But what I'd really like to draw your attention to is at lunchtime, Dr. Nunes, who is the president of Concordia College, spoke to us. And he was telling us about some of the good things, of course, that were happening at Concordia. But he said also that there was a challenge that they were facing. And he was talking about the compacting of the x-axis. He said, what in the world is that all about? Well, he went on to explain that, you know, when you have a graph, you know, the horizontal axis is that of time. And he was talking about how that gets compacted. Because we live in a world in which there is change, and change is happening so very rapidly that in effect what's happening, it's compressing that timeline. So you have to do things more quickly in order to adapt and to keep up with what's going on in the world. And so he's talking about how that's a great challenge for the university. Well, it's also a challenge for us as individuals and as a church. And in fact, we've heard this before. You know, we just had in our adult Bible class this winter and spring the curriculum on joining Jesus, and Greg Fenke, who was leading all of that in the videos, and he was talking about the same thing, only in a different kind of way. Maybe you remember back to that Sunday when I presented you with a picture of a bridge, and in that picture, then the bridge was not going over the river. The river should have been here in the bridge, but no, there's no river there, but there's a river over here. And you say, what in the world is going on? Well, it was Hurricane Mitch in 1988. That's what happened, and it dropped over 6 feet. Yeah, 75 inches, 6 feet of water in a relatively short period of time. Well, the effect of that was, you know, it gathered in the mountains and kept gathering and gathering as it was coming down, and it literally changed the course of the river. So that instead of being here where it was before, it carved out a new path, and so now the bridge was over, not the river, but over nothing. So it was useless. The bridge was no good anymore. But you see, what he was saying is that's kind of the way it is with us in the church and the world in which we live. The course of things in this world has changed. And so maybe in the past, some of the ways that we are addressing the world, you know, are not effective anymore. So, for example, it used to be when we lived in a churched culture, and it was very natural for people just to go to church, all you'd have to do is you'd have to go into town, you build a church, you open the doors, you do a few things well, and people would come. That's just the way the world was. It was expected that people would go to church. That's not true anymore. You know that. That the norm is not for people to attend church. There are other things that they do instead. And so if we're just going to keep doing the same old thing, it's not going to work. So the idea is that we have to change. You know, the old bridge kind of doesn't work anymore, so we have to do some new things. So instead of waiting for people just to come to us, that we need to go out and engage them. I'm not saying that the gospel or the church are irrelevant. Oh, quite the opposite. That is the way that God works in our midst. It's just that we need to do some things in order to connect with people, in order to invite them and to bring them into the church. You see, that's a lot of what our text for today is about. It gives us some ideas as to how we can start going about doing that. I love this text because it is the story of how the Philippian church came into being. So Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he ends up in Philippi, and some things happen there. And that's the beginning of the church. You know, we have that letter from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, a wonderful letter that comes later on. But here's the story of how it gets started. And so there's two things from this text that I want to share with you today. And the first is about going with Jesus on mission. And notice the preposition, it's with Jesus, not for. You know, a lot of times we think about going for Jesus. When we, if we're going to be on mission, we go for him. Maybe we get some training. Maybe there's a commissioning, but then we're sent forth. They say, go to it. Go make a plan. Go do it. You know, and maybe then we pray, Jesus, would you come with us? Well, there's probably a better way of thinking about this. I think the scriptural way is to think about it the other way. This is Jesus' mission. He goes in front of us and he invites us to come with him. So you think about the disciples, right? They're down fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus comes and he says to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, right? Come with me. And they do. They drop everything and they go with Jesus and they begin to go on mission. So they are going on his mission and he is equipping them and preparing them. And we can see the same thing happening in our text for today as well. You know, that's a better way of thinking about things. But Paul then is on his second missionary journey. He's in Asia Minor, and he's traveling around. He's been there before. He's going back, strengthening some of those churches, and then he's going to expand his circle a little bit. He's going to go a little bit further, a little bit wider. And so he has his plans as where he's going to go. And he gets all the way up to Troas, which is the site of the ancient city of Troy. And he's there and he receives a vision from God. It's of a Macedonian man. He says, come over and help us. So Paul and his companions, they leave everything that they were going to do. And they head on over to Macedonia. And eventually they end up in Philippi. But you see, what we understand there is that this is Jesus beckoning. This is Jesus inviting them to come through this vision of the Macedonian man. Come over and help us. So Jesus is going before them, and they are joining him. They are going where he is at work. We too, then, want to do the same thing. We want to hear what Jesus is speaking to us, and we want to go. We want to respond. We want to hear that invitation to come. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and make disciples of all nations. And remember what Jesus, when Jesus says that, he says, lo, I will be with you always to the end of the earth. And again, let's not think about that as we go and Jesus joins us, but the other way around, that Jesus is going and we join him. And then again in this, come and help us. I suppose there's any number of reasons why Paul could have made excuses for not going. That's not really my plan. I had this idea that we're going to stay in Asia Minor here. We're going to go to various different places. Or, I really don't know the territory over there. This is crossing into a different continent. You know, we're starting to get into Europe here. I don't know those people. I don't know that place. I'm just not comfortable. I'm not ready. And it's kind of what we do, right? We hear, we know Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. He knows the invitation to go with, where we know the invitation to go with him. And yet we sometimes make excuses. You know, we have our own agenda. We have our own things. You know, I have a family. I have my career. I have these things we're doing. I have these plans already. And, you know, and to change them, is that what you want? Or maybe it's just fear. You know, we wouldn't call it fear. You say, well, I'm not afraid. But, essentially that's what it is. if we're feeling uncomfortable, intimidated, if we're feeling timid about things. I guess what we need to remember is these are things that Jesus died for as well. He died to forgive us. He understands. He understands the opposition that we face, the challenges that we face in this world. And so he's died for those sins as well. But it's also true that even as we confess those and we seek his forgiveness, that then we need to go. We need to hear and to go, as the Apostle Paul did. But remembering that when we go, it's not our mission. It's not what we want to do and set out to do, but this is his mission. And we are joining him, and that can help take away some of that fear, because we're not originating these things. We're not even responsible for these things. We are simply joining and going with him. So that's the first thing. The second thing then that we take from this text is that when we're going with him, we want to seek what he is doing. Okay? What is Jesus up to? Because if it's not our mission, then we don't want to be necessarily generating stuff, but we want to be looking for what he is already doing out in front of us and joining him in, with this. But this kind of uncovers another shortcoming that we have, that a lot of times in our daily lives that we're not paying attention. We don't have our antennas up. You know, we're not trying to pay attention to what Jesus is doing. We got our own agenda, the own things that we need to do, and so sometimes we're not even present in the moment that there's stuff going on. If we had our eyes open, we would begin to see what Jesus is doing and how he's working in the lives of people, and we could partake of that. But we're so focused on our own agenda that we miss it. And I know I'm as guilty as anyone. Yeah, I'm guilty with church work, and I miss sometimes what Jesus is doing, right? I have my agenda, the things that I got to get done, you know, so the church can operate fully. And, you know, maybe I'm even missing what Jesus is doing in the life of this person over there that I could be a part of. He could use me to help that person. And we're not talking about big things here. We're not talking about, you know, changing the whole order of our life, but we're just talking about as we're going that we're keeping our eyes open for the things that Jesus might be doing in other people's lives where we can be there. You know, that we can be present. You know, and what does it look like for Jesus to be at work? A lot of times it just looks like somebody being upset or concerned or needing help. You know, that maybe you see somebody, a coworker, that they're just different today for some reason. They're distracted or they're upset or something's going on. Jesus is probably at work there. And how can you be in the midst of that? Can you just be present rather than on with an agenda? Can you be present? Can you be a friend? Can you say, what's going on? Can you talk for a few minutes? That's really what we're talking about. And when it's appropriate, you know, give help. And if it's right, you say something, you know, and you can talk about your faith. Maybe that doesn't come until later. But you see, these are the things that we're talking about. Just seeking what Jesus is doing and how can we be involved in those things. It's kind of what's going on with the Apostle Paul in our text for today. So he gets the vision. He goes over to Macedonia. He ends up in Philippi. It says that he's been there for several days and he's looking around. And I can just imagine Paul, he's going, there's nothing going on here. You know, why? I'm pretty sure that Jesus wanted me to come here, but, you know, there's not even a synagogue here in the city. Apparently there weren't enough Jews to gather people for a synagogue even. So Paul's kind of wondering, but he keeps looking, keeping his eyes open. He hears about a prayer meeting. It's going to happen on the Sabbath down by the river. And so he goes there. And sure enough, this is where he finds that Jesus is at work. And he's introduced to a woman named Lydia, who's there praying, She's a God-fearer. She's not really even Jewish, but she's a God-fearer, Gentile who's worshiping God. And notice, really key thing, it says the Lord opened her heart to hear what Paul was talking about. That's important for us to know. You don't convert anybody. You don't get anybody to believe. That's not your job. So don't try to do that. Your job is to be used by God, to be an instrument of His, to be a friend, to speak. But God does the work of doing that conversion. But see, you're there on Jesus' mission, where He's already at work, and you're just kind of joining in on these things. It takes all the pressure off of this idea of what it means to be on mission with Jesus. And so, if there's one thing that you can do this week, you know, how do we take what we're talking about and put it into practice? Because we want to do that. We don't want to just be here and hear and go away, not be changed. What can we do? So, if you would, just this week, keep your antenna up. Keep your eyes open. Seek for what Jesus is doing. Wherever you are, in your family, at school or at work, in your community, at the sporting events, wherever it is that you're going, and just keep your eyes open. Is there something going on somewhere that Jesus maybe is at work and that you can step into that? Because we don't want to miss those things. You know, we don't want to be looking back and again say, gee, there was another one. I missed it again. But if we can be present in the moment, you know, maybe we can be used by God to help somebody in their life, and who knows where it goes. Maybe God can use that in order to bring them to faith as well if they don't know Jesus. So just a real quick review, what we talked about today. You know, we talked about the river being moved. The world is different, so we need to adapt as well to do things in a different kind of way in order to reach people. Second, that we are on mission with Jesus. You know, not our mission, but it's His mission. So we go with Him. And then third, just to seek what Jesus is doing. What's He up to? How can we join Him and step into that? God bless you this week as you try to do those things. You try to be on mission with Jesus. In His name, amen.